Welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
I'm Jeremy.
And we are doing episode, 58?
I think it's 58, yeah.
58, we are concluding our 70s sequels.
Yes.
With the French Connection 2.
Yep. So, French Connection, of course, you know, this...
Academy Award winning.
Yeah, crime drama.
Yes, crime drama of the mean streets of New York, the heroin... drug story.
Yes.
True story, by the way.
Dramatized. Adapted.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the sequel by John Frankenheimer. Mm. John Frankenheimer Schmidt. Okay. And, so do you have any information on this movie?
Really, it's,
3 years after?
It takes place 3 years after the original. And they were kind of worried originally how this was going to play out.
Gene Hackman,
he almost didn't sign
almost
on.
Almost didn't sign on for it.
Yeah, because he was worried that this many years later that it wouldn't resonate with audiences still. And obviously it didn't quite the same as the original. So, but it did basically triple its budget in
box office.
So, funny thing is, so this movie is brought to you, is brought to you by the Corsican mob.
Yeah, right?
So
really?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
So when they got to France to put everything together, they were in Corsica, or in that region, and okay. So the Corsican mob was like, yeah, we'll help you out. So in order to get...
I didn't know that.
Yeah. In order to get like the drug mill looking correctly and like the different like drug dens and stuff like that, the mob was like, yeah, we'll put these together. And so they built and designed the sets.
And later on they used them for themselves?
They were so realistic and were actually could be functional. So the police at night when they weren't filming, the gendarme or whatever they were, mm-hmm. would come in and guard it because they were afraid that the mob was like, we'll build it so that they could use it as an actual
drug. I mean, they're
really
realistic. I mean, the sets are pretty realistic.
Yeah, but they were afraid they were really going to use it at night. They didn't, but they were afraid they were going to, and that's why they built them. So
that's funny.
They were really helpful, I guess, because later on, when they get into like the traffic jam scene towards the end of the movie.
Yeah.
The permits to film all of that and to get everybody going.
Yeah, it seemed like that would be horrendous.
Well, they were like, wow, it was going to take a while to get all the permits and everything together. And the Corsican mob went, we got you covered. Hold on.
Oh, my God.
And so they secured all the permits for, like, most of the filming and especially, like, that last scene. And, like, ooh. I mean, they did a lot for
them.
I
did not know that, reading into that.
Well, when you look at it, look, earlier on, it's like... It's kind of narrow where they're filming, and it looks like sets and stuff.
Yeah.
And then all of a
sudden,
well
done, but you know, whatever.
So yeah, the mob. This movie is brought to you by the mob.
Okay. So there's that. This podcast is brought to you in part by this cocktail that we made.
Yes, this cocktail. So
we actually found a cocktail called the French Connection.
Yeah. So let's do this. Let's break for. Ooh, that sounds real.
That sounds real. It is real.
Let's break for some messages real quick. You know, we always like to make sure that we're telling you about other podcasts out there. So we're gonna play promo, and then we will be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hello, this is for...
Can't we say hello at the same time?
Fuck's sake.
Hello!
This is an advertisement for Master Debaters.
Oh, can we say Master Debaters together as well?
Yeah?
Hello! I am Michael.
I'm Sean.
I'm Toffer.
And we are the Master Debaters.
Oh, we wanted to say that
we are
the Master Debaters.
That's what we want to do.
We're all saying it.
Yeah.
Hello! I'm Michael.
I'm Sean.
I'm Toffer.
And we are the Master Debaters.
I thought we were just doing...
Hello! I'm Michael.
I'm Sean.
I'm Toffer.
We are...
The Master Debaters.
You can find us on Twitter at _MasterDebaters, SoundCloud, Podbean, and iTunes. Just do yourself a favour and jump aboard this podcast train.
Choo choo, motherfucker!
And we're back.
We are back.
So check out those guys.
Yes.
What were we talking about? Oh, the cocktail in my hand.
Yes. So the cocktail, Bradley and I like to mix cocktails and find different drinks and stuff like that. And he was looking through and he went, there's one called the French Connection.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah, it's a two ingredient cocktail, so it's pretty easy.
You probably have them if you have cognac.
Yes. So it's just a mixture. It's equal parts cognac.
Yeah.
And amaretto.
And heroin. No.
With a little heroin needle for decoration.
No heroin. But those two ingredients.
That makes it the French Connection, too.
You can shake it. I've seen where people shake it, or you can put it in and just stir it.
Yeah, it's easy enough. It's not a lot. It's a simple one. It'd be easy enough. It doesn't need to be over blended or anything.
Yeah, I don't know about this, but I'm sipping on it right now.
So you could
take it. You have not tasted it yet.
So I have not tasted it yet. No.
Why don't you taste it real quick?
So equal parts cognac and amaretto. Put it over ice, or put glass and ice in a glass. Pour it over that and stir it gently.
So I'll be drinking this during our discussion of the French Connection.
All right, so here I go.
Go ahead.
Here I go.
Yeah.
Goes down smooth.
Yeah. No, I don't think it does.
It's actually not bad. I'm a big fan of amaretto.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that bad.
Mm-mm.
I think it's like this movie. It's not that bad.
No. It needs a little something, though.
it needs
like an orange twist or something
like
that.
Yeah, actually, people do put orange twist in there.
Well, what?
I don't have an orange.
We have a grapefruit.
We have a grapefruit, but not orange.
Grapefruit.
But you're right. People do put an orange twist in there. So
yeah. I guess we could have put in some, what do you call that? Orange Cointreau.
Cointreau?
Maybe a little.
Yeah. Okay. Well, while you're sipping on that, why don't we drop the deuce on the French Connection 2?
Don't tell
me
what
to do. And we have two of these cocktails. Me, you have one, I have one.
Don't tell me what to do.
French Connection 2. Get it?
I think my tongue is numb.
Yeah, okay.
So, dropping the deuce here.
Oh, whoa.
As we said earlier, so we pick up 3 years after the original left off. So we once again see narcotics officer Jimmy Doyle, a.k.a. Popeye Doyle. And so, again, played by Gene Hackman, thankfully. So glad he didn't. If he wasn't in this, I don't think it would have.
Who could play Popeye Doyle?
Yeah, it wouldn't be Brian Dennehy.
No.
No, it's pretty iconic for him. But yeah, it's.
I think if you think roles, this is the top role that you think of.
Yeah.
When you think of Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
Is Popeye.
One of them, yeah.
You know.
Maybe. Yeah, it ranks up there with I was trying to think of his iconic roles earlier. Yeah. I was like, okay, Lex Luthor.
Lex Luthor, Royal Tenenbaum.
Mm-hmm. Popeye Doyle,
you know.
What's his name from Hoosiers?
The sheriff from Unforgiven. I don't know. Go ahead.
He still is searching for the same drug kingpin.
Yeah.
From the French Connection.
From the French Connection, the first one.
I think it's Alain Charnier.
Charnier. I think you said Garnier.
Garnier. That's what I thought he was screaming. Garnier. Garnier Fructis. My hair is
It's
got
Charnier?
So much volume.
It's a good thing I'm drinking while we're talking French.
Grand
stuff.
Charnier. So he's played by Fernando Rey. Charnier is
from the first movie.
Yep.
Yes.
So now Popeye gets orders from his superiors.
He looks like a French Peter Sellers, if someone wants to make a visual about it.
He kind of does.
Yeah, you know?
He looks like the most interesting man in the world's less interesting brother.
Yeah.
So he gets orders from his superiors to go to Marseille, France, to track down basically the mastermind of the drug ring and to bust him.
Right.
So we open up with Popeye in a taxi, basically rolling up in France.
So he's trying to track down the big drug lord. If you remember from the first movie, the iconic scene is in the subway where they're trying to chase him in the subway. And he gets out of the subway, gets back in the subway,
yeah,
gets in. It's a nice scene, but anyway, go ahead.
So in this one, and we open up, like the whole movie actually opens on, you see people like gutting trading fish. Bags and kind of looking at like boats and stuff. So you can tell there's sketchy stuff's going down.
Yeah.
So Popeye rolls up in this taxi, and on the outside of a taxi, there's a paper fish taped to it, which mm-hmm. he takes and kind of tucks away. And he notices more people who have those fish on them. So it looks like we thought it was a fish market at first.
Yeah. Like, I thought it was like,
yeah,
you know, Seattle.
There's people, there's people gutting fish.
Right.
And it looks like a fish market. And there's people outside, like, screaming.
Detectives gutting fish.
Well, yeah. When you get inside, you realize, oh, the police are blocking this off.
Yeah.
What's going on? And so Popeye comes through.
I think you said, oh, the French police also got fish.
Yeah,
on
thought
the
maybe that was like, they were going to be like, this is
right.
what we do in our spare time. So he goes up and he meets Detective Henri Bartolomé,
sure.
played by a French guy.
He's Bernard not really been
or something like
he
that.
He also has a nickname that Popeye Doyle gives him, Asshole.
Asshole, yeah. He calls him
Asshole quite a lot in this movie.
He also calls him Henry all the time instead of Henri.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
So he comes up and he's like, what are you guys doing? I'm trying to figure out what the fish. And he says, we're looking for narcotics that are being smuggled inside of these. And somebody comes up, they bring these guys up who start talking to him. And Henri just loses his shit. And you don't quite know what's going on until one of like the deputy inspectors explains. Today is April 1st. It's April Fool's Day. And so normally you pin a fish to somebody, like you like pin a little paper fish. That's what he was seeing on these people and on the taxi cab. In this case, it was a literal. Somebody was played a prank on them saying there were drugs inside these fish. So all the police were gutting fish and there was really nothing inside of them, which, of course, pisses Henri off and he goes back inside having a fit. So he gets to talking to Henri. He's in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And he's got his file in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Which Popeye Doyle continuously refers to the shit house.
The shit house.
Because that's just the crude guy he is. So he's rough and tumble. But,
yeah, the thing about Popeye Doyle is that he's a good cop that is a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Kind of, in a way.
Yeah. He's kind of that chaotic good kind of.
Yeah.
You know, he's chaotic in the way he does stuff, but he does it for the good reason.
Yeah.
Or unlawful good. I don't know. I don't do that. Sure. Anyway,
your nickname is Popeye.
Popeye. I could choose some spinach, Popeye.
Spinach.
Yeah.
Your name
is really, really gloms onto that.
Yeah.
But then he reads his personnel file and says, like, how many people have you gotten killed by being, you know, reckless by doing this? And basically goes through and talks about all the people that have died as
a
result of his
actions.
I'm going
to say all the other cast of French Connection.
Pretty much. He said five people.
Yeah, two of them were cops.
Yeah.
From the first movie.
Yep.
So this is exposition from the first movie.
Correct, yeah. And so he tells him he doesn't want him. He's here as a guest. They're trying to help him. He doesn't want him to have a gun. He's not allowed to have a gun. You know, and he's basically going through and saying, you know, you're going to have your own space to help out, but I want you to, you do what I say and you do it when I say it. And so, so he ends up finding out that his little desk space is right outside of the bathroom, which he's not too happy about.
I just realized I said French like Peter Sellers, but that would be Inspector Clouseau.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make any sense.
What, the French?
Yeah, when I said he looked like a French Peter Sellers. Peter Sellers played Inspector Clouseau.
Well, right, but He did, I guess he kind of...
Anyway, keep going.
Anyway. Doyle has this really bad time. He can't talk with anybody. He's having trouble explaining himself.
It's a fish out of water.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
He goes to the bar, and he's, like, trying to tell the... He wants bourbon. He just wants two fingers of bourbon. And the guy's like, what? And the French guy keeps saying, kid doesn't understand him.
Right.
So finally he's like, that, and points to some whiskey.
French aren't really that well known for their manners. And neither is Popeye Doyle.
They're better off than he is.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Seems like he's cruder and ruder than they are.
Yeah.
And he's got the Americanness.
Yes, to him. He does. Like, I don't want this shit of yours. Yeah. I want stuff.
I want the hamburger.
Yeah.
Ugh. Hamburger.
No.
Okay.
No. So he finally gets to a bar where he gets to ordering some drinks. And he tries flirting with some young girls who are like, no.
Right.
And ride off with their motorcycle boyfriends.
Like, ooh, aren't you Gene Hackman? Aren't you 72?
What's with that hat? He ends up drinking with the bartender and keeps ordering drinks for him, for both of them. He keeps getting whiskey, and I think the other guy's drinking absinthe.
I think so. Because he's like, ooh, you drink that green shit?
Yeah. So, yeah, they both just keep drinking it. But they end up stumbling out drunk. Of course, that's, I think, when he starts to realize he's got escorts. He's got people following him. So the next day, it must have happened before that. He actually smuggled a gun.
Yeah, he smuggled a gun
and Hershey's chocolate bars into France.
He loves his Hershey chocolate.
He loves his Hershey's chocolate bars with nuts.
Yes.
And so he smuggled those in his suitcase in the lining of them. So he doesn't have his gun on him now, but he, of course, the next day he makes sure that he has it. He tells Henri to stop having his guys follow him. I don't need an escort. He's like, sorry, you're going to have him here. You're not supposed to be doing stuff on your own. We don't know what you're doing. You're going to have an escort.
Well, later when you find out the real reason why he's there, it's not necessarily, am I jumping the gun on that?
Kind of.
Okay.
I think that might be, this is happening simultaneously.
Okay.
So, you might be right. He calls that night.
He calls the chief while Popeye's
stumbling home drunk.
Yeah.
He calls, Henri calls New York. Turns out they want to catch him, and they're using him as bait.
Bait, because he's the only one that knows what he looks like.
Yep.
And he can, bait. You know, Scooby-Doo.
He'll make himself loud and well-known, and he'll bring them out.
Yeah, right.
And so that's why they sent him over there. He's just bait to catch Charnier. So the next day, Doyle tells him to go to hell, but he still just kind of wanders about on his own for a while, just seeing the city while those guys are still following him.
Right.
And he watches this volleyball game. And so they're watching the game. Now, while he's doing that, there's this great sequence. So he's really weird anyway. Like, they hit the ball up by where he is on this, like, retaining wall. He gets it. He won't give it back to him because he thinks he's being cute and flirty, and he's really just creepy.
He's being Gene Hackman.
He's hacking it up. And so...
get it?
So he's... takes the volleyball. He finally gives it back. Well, while he's up there watching, there's this great sweeping shot. It goes along the beach, kind of shows everybody there, and as the camera pans, we see the far end of it.
Yeah,
like Charnier is in a restaurant, sitting kind of in the window,
like really close by.
Yeah, and he's meeting with a person who is talking about the drug ring and like, hey, we need to buy this supply and, you know, what they're going to get from them so they can introduce it in the States.
It's a wonderful shot.
Yeah.
Like how they do it and how they pan over.
Yeah. And so he's talking it through. And at one point, Charnier, as he's talking, he looks over and he sees Popeye on the
yeah.
wall.
Yeah.
And he looks kind of like uh-oh, or, you know, what the hell's happening? Looks just has a little bit of panic look to him, but he manages to keep it together and continue the meeting. He invites the guy to come and join him for like a linen party or something that he's having, or like
Did you say linen or lemon party?
A linen.
Okay, good.
Yeah, for a linen party. That the other part comes later. He plays his cards right.
Oh.
So the linen party.
Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman is lemon party.
God.
So in the linen party, the guy says, oh, nope, I can't. I got stuff to do. I won't. He's like, I got stuff to do. You know, official business, and picks up his dry cleaning.
Yeah.
And it's like a U.S. Army uniform.
They didn't quite follow through on that.
They didn't explain it anywhere else.
Anywhere else.
So we were like, the government is buying the drugs, I suppose?
I don't get what that was.
Is it supposed to be introduced to the street? Like, we didn't quite understand.
Will we find out in French Connection 3? Let us know. I want to know.
Is there one?
No.
So. So, after that, after the U.S. Army guy leaves...
I realize they don't follow through on that.
Yeah, they don't. It's really, I was thinking of that, too. I was like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So, Doyle is walking through the town, and he's trying to shake his tail, basically. The people are following him.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of moving around. He's going normal. And then at one point... he goes into a business, and they just kind of stand outside of it waiting for him to come out. And when they do, while they're standing there, this garbage truck comes around the corner. As it comes around, Doyle is actually on the truck.
Yeah, so he sneaked outside the building.
Yeah, so I don't know if he snuck out the side somehow, or walked out the door while they were...
And then he was all like, oh, this garbage truck is perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect
so
timing.
It was very weird. So he manages to escape, and he starts heading down an alley where Charnier's henchmen jump him. Gee, maybe if you had your tail with you still, they'd have been able to help.
But no.
Good job, Popeye. So... so... wow! You do that?
Yeah.
Anyway...
he did do that right when he got captured.
They knocked him out. So Bluto is going after so they capture him, and as they knock him out, of course, he loses his gun. Then they take him away, and one of the tails actually finds him. One of his escorts, and they just go ahead and hit the guy with the car and drive off.
Yeah.
So they've taken him now to a hotel. So Popeye manages to focus on some details. He sees this this tile at the bottom of the door that says Tanger.
Mm-hmm.
And so he focuses on that, and he gets inside. They have him tied up. And they said, you know, what do you know about this operation? Like, what's going on? He goes, I don't know anything. I came to find you.
And when they mean Charnier, operation, is that they were trying to figure out that game operation?
Yes. Like, how does that work?
Yeah, how does that work?
What's the easiest way to get the funny bone?
Pop him out of trouble.
And boy, does he have some pop-o-matic trouble.
Oh, yes.
So... basically, Charnier is trying to figure out what he knows, and he says, I don't know anything. I don't know what's going on. And he says, but, you know, how can I trust you? These guys, have an idea of how to get the truth out of you.
Right.
So, while he's tied up,
excuse me,
they hold him down. They find a vein in his arm, and they inject him with heroin.
Right. And now, for the rest of the movie, it's basically just a vehicle for Gene Hackman to do some incredible acting.
Yeah, right? So, the next thing is, like at first he's, it's kind of an interesting montage of stuff.
It is, but it's a very slow.
It's very slow. So we see, things are intercut here. So there's shots of Gene Hackman at the hotel.
Yeah.
And at first he's chained up when they come to give him these shots or give him the injections. And he's resisting at first, but after a while you notice he's not cuffed up anymore.
Right.
He's just waiting for them. And after a while he's like desperate for the
heroin. Jonesing for it.
Yeah. And so he'll do whatever, and you see him like waiting there, he gets it and just passes out and looks happy. And there's like an old lady who keeps poking her head into. At first he's keeping track of how many days he's there. And you see, like, the lines on the... It was kind of a nice effect. The lines on the wall are all even at first. But as it gets further and further in, and he keeps going back there, and he makes a mark, they're, like, all over the place, and they're not even. They're kind of scattered about. And after a while, he just stops making them.
Much like this plot.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's even. Sometimes it's all over the place.
Yeah. Now, all of that is intercut with shots of... So now the police, the French police, are after him. Like, they're like, I don't know where Popeye is. So they're trying to hunt him down. And so they're rolling criminals in the streets, trying to figure it out. They're talking to citizens. They're tracking him down, which, of course, is making Charnier and his people nervous.
I think at one time the theme song to Cops, Bad Boys, Bad Boys.
And that's what it was.
What you going to do? No?
Yeah, no, it was. No. It was just in
French. That's what's great about this movie is that even though that is a slow montage, it's not like a fast montage to make it unrealistic.
Yeah.
Things are very realistic-wise in this movie.
It's a good way. It was a very well-done way to show the time passing.
Right.
And so I think at one point or towards the end of it, the elderly woman, who I think is just called like old lady or
just
elderly
called old lady.
Yeah.
In the credits.
Who's played by this this old British actress named Kathleen Nesbitt.
Yeah.
Who has got a fair bit of credit to her name.
Right.
She visits him while he's messed up. And she's like, oh, you shouldn't yell. Don't be loud because that'll set them off. And she's being sweet. She's talking to them. Or she's talking to him. And she was like, oh, my son never listened to me. My husband didn't listen to me. You know, she's kind of being tender to him and everything. And he starts scratching his arm at the injection mark. And she's like, shouldn't do that. Because if you do that...
Then we notice her on her arm.
Well, she's like, you'll get infected. That's bad. Now, as she's like here. And so she's like rubbing his arm, rubbing his forehead, rubbing his arm. Just being very generally sweet. And as she's doing that and moving her arm, you see... She also has, like, injection marks all over her arm. And while she's doing that, she's stealing his watch.
Right.
And so she's basically robbing him.
Right.
So that she can go get her heroin.
I don't know who she is.
Mm-mm. We never see her again.
We never see her again. Maybe she's part of the one guy, the soldier guy from the U.S. I don't know.
No, she said that she's lived there for...
She's lived there
like
for
40-something years or whatever. She married a Frenchman after the war.
Yeah, that's right.
Or for 30-something years. She married a Frenchman after the war.
Right.
They moved back to France. She had a husband and kid, which were gone now. She lost both of them in other wars. So they bring Popeye down to this room, and they basically say...
He wants some more.
Yeah,
he's
like
addicted to this stuff.
Oh yeah, and at this point he's out. He goes down there
for 3 weeks.
Well, at first he goes down and he ties like his necktie around his arm to get his veins to pop out so they can just inject him. And he's like ready for it. He's been conditioned, and they're like, "No, you're gonna tell us what we need to know first." He's like, what do you know about the operation? Of course, Popeye's like, you know, fuck you. Like, I'm not going to tell you anything. Like, he's being Popeye. But then he's just like, ah, but also we don't actually know anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes, you know what? Charney's like, I believe you. So for now, you got to get going. So now they take him and they inject him with something else just to knock him out. And then they drive by police headquarters and throw him out of the car and drive off. So, basically, you find out it's been, like you said, it's been 3 weeks.
Like 3 weeks.
Yeah. So it's been a while.
Yeah. It's been a while.
And Doyle only thinks it's been a week, but it's been longer. And we have this scene where they, like, go in, and it's kind of interesting because it's all in French.
Yeah, there's no subtitles in this movie at all.
No. And this scene's all in French. They're trying to save his life. And so they have doctors there trying to take care of him. Like doctors in the police station who are trying to do whatever. At one point, they're trying to get him stabilized so they can do chest compressions, but the bed is too shaky, so they put like a door underneath of him. I mean, it's like all this action is going on in trying to save him, and you don't really know what's happening unless you speak the language.
Right. I mean, it's a little confusing, but like in a good way confusing.
Yeah. Well, it forces you to like read the picture.
Right.
To rely more on what the action is telling you. So, basically, they resuscitate him. The doctor has paperwork for Henri, and he just ends up tearing it up. He's like, just this is off the records. Because he wants to help Doyle, but he doesn't want this to go on his record. He's like, if somebody finds out that you're this heroin-addicted cop, you're never going to be able to work again. Like, they are trying to ruin you.
Right, so they try to force him to do cold turkey.
Yeah, so, well, he starts detoxing right away, and he's getting sick, and he's having a rough time, and that's when he's like, hey, give me a little bit. I've seen guys go cold turkey.
Right.
It's bad, and, like, he's kind of charming about it.
This happens quite a lot in the beginning of this movie. And as much as it's realistic, as much as it's wonderful to see, and as well acted as it is for Gene Hackman, because it really is. I mean, it's a Gene Hackman vehicle at this point. It's also very slow.
Yes, it is.
And it also kind of grades on you.
Yeah.
To where you're like, can we get some action?
Yeah. And so this is a lot of, like, him pacing the room, throwing stuff. At one point, he has, like, he goes through his where he's dopey. He goes through where he's kind of lucid, but he really wants more drugs. Oh, don't make me go cold turkey. You know, I've seen guys do that. Don't make me do that. And he's like, nope, you are going cold turkey. Henri's not going to allow it, which sets Doyle off. Then he's just kind of out of it, and he goes through this big, like, monologue about baseball. Like, he tried out for
Mickey Mantle.
He tried out for baseball years ago, and it starts off with he's talking about baseball. He takes a bite of an apple and spits the bite of it out just for whatever reason, hands it to Henri, takes a chicken leg like a baseball bat, and it's just like, throw it here. So Henri's like, okay. So he throws the apple over there, and he misses.
I feel like, and this is just me, I feel like a lot of this was improv'd by Gene Hackman, or it feels like it is.
I think that they may have given him the general stuff and had him go with it.
But it feels like it really is.
Because there's some stuff in there. So they filmed it, and part of the story that he tells is that he tried out for baseball. He didn't make it because some other pretty boy got in there, even though he was not as good. And it ended up being Mickey Mantle. And he goes, Mickey Mantle sucks, and was like bawling because he thought he was better than him, and you know that set his life down this path. And now he's crying, he's upset, funny thing is, in reality, they had that line and they were like, we have to clear this with Mickey Mantle's people and get him to sign a waiver saying it's okay to say that. Which I don't even know if you have to do that anymore.
Why do you have to do that? Yeah.
But they wanted to do it, so they were like,
just
okay.
Get the mob on Mickey Mantle?
There you go, the
shake
Corsican
him down.
Mob.
Shake Mickey Mantle down.
Bonjour, Monsieur Mantle.
Mantle.
Anyway,
sign paper.
Sign the papers. So they go and get Mickey Mantle, and they're like, hey, they had his lawyer there and everything, and they were like,
didn't you think it was funny?
Let's show you the movie.
Yeah.
And so they showed it to him,
that scene.
Or showed him the scene, and they were cracking up. They thought it was hilarious that they said that,
right.
That about Mickey Mantle.
It's so hilarious. A guy detoxing is so hilarious.
I know, but I was like, what? Like, they thought it was funny, and then they wanted to watch the rest of the movie because they were digging it so much. Okay.
Sure Mickey thing, Mantle.
Mickey Mantle.
Sure.
So anyway, that got kept in a movie as a result.
But it just seems like it's very well acted by Gene Hackman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it just takes too much time up in the movie.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it for what it is.
Yes. So Henri finally takes Popeye after he's recuperated. I think at the beginning, they say he's got 2 months here. So he spent like a week of that doing like joining him on like raids. They did a raid way early in the movie.
Flirting with volleyball
girls. Where he got somebody killed accidentally. Flirting with volleyball girls. Getting drunk. Then the next 3 weeks of that is him getting addicted to heroin by force. And then the next, I don't know how long, weeks, is him detoxing, coming down from it.
Popeye's French vacation.
Yeah, when he's like, okay, well, your vacation's over now. Bye. So they take him and they take him to the car and they're like, let's drive around Marseille and let's see see if you recognize where they took
anything.
You. And he drives around. Nope, he doesn't. Nobody sees anything. Or he doesn't see anything that reminds him of anything. And he basically comes back and says, so was the plan for them to kill me? And, like, either I'm the bait and they kill me and you figure out where they are, or they just take me out or whatever, I guess, you know, they're okay with that. Like, if I'm expendable, is that right? And Henri kind of says, yeah, that was the deal. Like, you know, you find them or you die. Either way, who cares?
Yeah, right.
And so he's like, okay.
All right.
So,
you stupid French asshole.
Yeah. Yeah, asshole, as he always so lovingly calls him. So, now...
It's asshole of the Doyle. This... Fall on ABC.
So they take him back home, or they take him home, and he does like some push-ups and stuff, just trying to get his physical health back. Mm-hmm. And then he gets dressed up, and he grabs a can of gasoline and heads on over to the Hotel Tanger that he remembered, but he just didn't want to say anything because he wanted revenge.
Yeah.
So he walks through and burns the place down.
He's like... or you got a rat problem.
Yeah. He's like, he said he's the
exterminator.
You got a rat problem. And he starts pouring gasoline on everything and just setting the place on fire. And of course, the police show up and they're like, what the hell? They're like, you knew where this was all the time. And this is what you wanted to do. And he said, yep, that's it. So they end up, after all that goes down, they find Charny's henchman who runs out. And they end up finding out the Charnier's location.
Hey, it worked, didn't it?
Yeah.
Might not have been the right thing.
Henri and his boss take Doyle back to his room and are like, give me your passport. Give me your ID. Like, you were staying here. You can't go anywhere until we take you there. And so they were like, and you will be leaving Marseille. So they basically keep him there. Now, later, he goes to, takes a taxi to meet Henri in order to get his passport back so he can leave the next day. Oh, there's a scene, too, where he finds out he still has little packets of heroin. And you think he's going to take them at first, and then he just rips them up and dumps them on the
ground.
Yeah,
he got them from the henchmen.
Yeah, from the henchmen. So he goes to the docks to meet with Henri to get his passport and everything back. And when he does, he realizes they're getting ready to move on Charnier. And so he begs him, please let me come with you. Like, I need to be out here. I need to be... Stop him.
This is my true drug.
Yeah.
My real drug is this.
Yeah.
Is to get revenge on him.
Yeah. And so Henri agrees that he'll let him go. So they go to this dry dock where they're looking to pick up some drugs. They see that on this boat there are these like metal canisters stuck to the hull that contain the drugs. They're sealed and they have the drugs inside of them. That's how they're getting smuggled.
Oh, yeah.
The ship's in dry dock. And so they get in this big gun battle. Of course, Doyle and Henri are in the dry dock underneath the boat, which then somebody opens up the floodgate. So all the water starts pouring in. And they're trying to.
I hope you know how to swim, asshole.
Yeah. Popeye's like, I hope you know how to swim. Like, you're going to let him die? What's happening? And part of the way through, Henri gets hit with, like a beam that holds his ship in place.
Like, I figure, like, the director just threw this beam at him.
It looks like they did. They're just like,
it's kind of the cheesiest part, yeah. But
and so, Popeye drags Henri out, takes him up the ladder while this other gun battles. And the one cop that is with them, apparently, who has a gun, is just, like, taking out these guys with machine guns left and right.
Yeah, right.
And until they finally, everything is settled. So they have some of these drugs. Some of them got away. But they said, like, the next day, they're interrogating the owner of, or, like, the captain of the ship.
Yeah.
And he says he doesn't know anything about it. Popeye says, yeah, you know, he does. He's not going to leave without his money. And Charnier is going to pay him before this all goes down. Uh-huh. So it's got to be somewhere.
Yeah.
And so they wait. They end up kind of doing a stakeout on the ship captain. And they find where the ship captain exchanges bags with Charnier's henchmen.
Sure.
So they switch bags and like, okay, follow the other guy then. So they have tails and it keeps switching very much like the French Connection. They have different people trailing this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of catches wise to it. At one point he throws the bag in an alley, but nobody goes after it.
No one goes after that.
And I never see them come back. They're just like, yeah, whatever.
So that's kind of like a moot point.
Yeah. So we don't know what's in there exactly. It could just be empty. I mean, we don't know what's in the bag exactly. But we know the captain got away with money, apparently. They follow the guy. They end up following him to, I think he's under the impression he's lost them. But they follow him back to the drug mill at that point, where they're making things. And their plan was they're taking the drugs, they're taking the heroin, they're like mixing it up and refining it. And they're also cutting holes in the sides of cans of soup and consomme.
Right.
They're opening it, putting the drugs inside of it, like filling the canister so it's solid, and then putting the little door closed again, welding it shut, and then putting the labels back on them so you can't see it. And then you don't know because it looks like the canister has been sealed. And because it looks like the can is still sealed, so nobody would think to look in there. And so they end up, they tell Doyle to stay behind. And that's when he tells Charnier, you owe me. And I'm like, really?
Henri.
Yeah. He tells Henri, you owe me. And that's when I was like, he helped your life and help detox you?
He helped detox you.
He actually helped Popeye
and
more than one time.
And he might have gotten Hershey bars for you. We don't know.
Yeah, he saved him more than one time.
Oh,
and so I'm like, why does he owe you? You bought him lunch. That counts. That's one.
So
yeah, you disrupted the investigation 400 times.
Yeah.
And yet he owes you.
You got one of their people killed. More than one of their people killed. Yeah. Even a little ridiculous. But he... so they go inside.
American.
Oh. So they go inside, and there's a big gun battle. So they're going after everybody. Charnier escapes out the back, along with the henchman who is, like, heading towards this van. So he's getting away. And Popeye goes after Charnier. Henri goes after this other dude. Mm-hmm.
The dog runs by.
Yeah, a dog just randomly runs down a hallway. The opposite direction from everybody.
I don't know what that was.
We were like, awesome. A dog is in this now?
Benny Hill music is playing.
And so Henri, at one point, closes the doors to the factory. So they're closing slowly. And the van is coming.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make it enough time. So it hits the sides of the thing, and the guy flies out dead and hits the ground.
Click it or ticket. I say it every time. There you Click go. It or die.
So you do. And so then Popeye is chasing Charnier through the streets of Marseille. Now, the interesting thing here, and I think you were the one who pointed it out to me. So he's going through all this in the heat, chasing him down.
Yeah.
Charnier is like, sometimes he's on a bus. Sometimes he's on like other vehicles. Like,
yeah.
He runs a little bit of the time, but Popeye runs the entire time. And you pointed out...
I read that somewhere that he, like, busted his knee during filming. And so, like, you can see, like, a couple of the times where he's just, like, breathing kind of heavy. And, like, his face is, like, in pain. And that's, like, because he didn't do a body double when he's running.
Yeah.
He ran the whole thing, like Gene Hackman did.
Yeah, well, he didn't tell Frankenheimer that he was...
Right.
He had an old injury to his knee.
Oh, an old injury? Is that what it was?
And from a different film or something like that. Oh, yeah. But
was it from the French Connection 1?
It might have been. It actually might have been. But he's injured. His knee has a tricked knee, and he doesn't tell Frankenheimer. He's like, nope, I'm going to do this. And so he starts running and doing all this, but the more he ran, the more swollen his knee would get. And it was like, by the end of it, was so swollen he could barely stand.
Right.
But
it's a cat and mouse scene between him and what's his name? Charnier?
Yeah, Charnier.
Charnier.
It's like Henri ends up being Gardner. With him. Yeah. Henri's with him. Charnier and his guy are running. And eventually, like, Henri and this other gangster guy, like, kind of peel off. So it's just Popeye and Charnier. So he chases him on a bus, which he finally catches up with, but he can't figure out where Charnier went after he got off.
Right.
But he eventually thinks he sees Charnier go below deck on a boat, on a yacht that's taking off. So he runs down onto the docks, and he's chasing after it, and it's too far for him to get to it. So he runs down the pier to another dock and just misses it. And he does it again and again. He's so tired, and Gene Hackman seriously is limping at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, he's barely going to make it, and he kind of falls over. And you see Charnier gets above deck because he's like, hey, I'm free and clear. He gets above deck and he's just looking and kind of like, oh, okay, we're sailing away.
Yeah.
And Popeye goes, Charnier!
Charnier!
And he turns around and Popeye just shoots him in the heart.
And then kills him.
And then he shoots him one more time and you see him go, oh, and kind of like get tangled up in the cords. And the end.
And then it goes, directed by John Frankenheimer.
Yeah, it was just ends so abruptly.
You've been deuced. So it ends very abruptly.
Yeah.
But in a way, like, 70s movies had a way of ending just abruptly. I mean, think about it. Didn't, like, we were like, God, this ended abruptly with the Planet of the Apes, you know?
But yeah.
It just seems like it just ends.
Yes. Planet of the Apes, even the
but nowadays we're like, no, we need to see the body. We need to get like a statement from, you know, Popeye.
What's our last
line?
Zinger line,
or whatever. Yeah. Well, that's what we thought of it, but let's hear what other people thought of it, shall we, Jeremy?
Yes, we shall.
Gridian, he or she, gives it a 5 out of 10, says uneven but slick and slightly superior sequel, but yet gave it a 5 out of 10. Says The French Connection 2 is a slightly superior sequel to the 1971 hit, which was incredibly dull and overrated in my opinion. Well, that's stupid. It's a slicker movie with an easy-to-follow plot, polished cinematography, and a little more depth, too, in Hackman's characterization. But it's too slowly paced with barely any action and an abrupt ending. Fans of the first film probably won't like it. For the rest of it, it's an okay time filler. So there's that. This person is Adam French, gives it a 10 out of 10, says brilliant. I actually saw this one before the first one. Now that I've seen both several times, it must admit that I rarely have seen a better follow-up. Gene Hackman is brilliant in this cat and mouse chase in this French town. Especially his acting in the cold turkey scenes are just amazing.
Okay.
It's a sad fact that they don't do these types of movies anymore. Today is all about overloading your senses, thinking that there's more, more is always better. This is a masterpiece in sparely used sound effects, music, and cinematography. If you've seen the first one, make sure you see this one at all costs.
At all costs, Jeremy.
All costs.
All costs. You know, I will say that now that I've seen this, because I haven't seen this one before, but I've seen French Connection.
It's been a while.
I haven't seen it a lot, but I've seen it.
Yeah.
But when I watch this one, like now I'm like, okay, now I feel the story is complete or is a little bit more complete.
Right.
And I would actually, I'm kind of the mind that like if somebody was like, hey, I want to watch French Connection, I'd be like, you have to watch both of them.
I think so. I think you should.
Yeah, it's one, it, like it's really one
there is,
story.
There's kind of an ambiguous ending.
Yes,
to
there
the
is.
The first one.
Yeah.
And so this kind of ties it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you. Should we do our five questions?
Yeah, I think we should.
Five questions.
If I do five questions, we do five questions.
I'll do. If I order five questions, will everyone do five questions? Huh? Will you? If I order a plate of fries, will you eat them?
Okay. What is your favorite part in this movie?
It's hard not to say that Gene Hackman is your favorite part of this movie. This movie is by far a vehicle for Gene Hackman's acting.
Yeah.
About the first part of the first like half of the movie is him detoxing for the most part.
Yeah.
And acting in that, which by the way is a tour de France in acting, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's a well-acted movie. Again, it's just slow in the execution.
Tour de force acting?
Did I say Tour de France?
Tour de France.
Well, you know, I was thinking, you know,
well,
French.
Tour de force
in France.
It is a Tour de France.
Tour de France. They're in France.
When you have a Tour de force in France, it's a Tour de France.
Shut up.
What?
Gene Hackman's probably the best part.
Yeah.
I think, I just don't think the villain, he's a guy that has a henchman that does all his work for him. He's not really that menacing.
Yeah. I would have liked
more of a revenge.
I would have liked, honestly, to get a little bit more Charnier.
Yeah.
And to flesh that character out a little bit.
Maybe a little bit.
Because I almost get this, he has almost like this conflicted nature to him a little bit. Like when he sees stuff or he's a drug dealer, but I don't know, like, I don't look at him like this really sinister, evil character. He's just kind of passively evil almost.
Yeah, you see it a little bit in the scenes with him and Gene Hackman.
Yes.
In the hotel.
Where he has to be the...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think my favorite parts of this... It really, again, it's Gene Hackman.
We didn't talk about... There was a scene in the chase scene that I actually do like, which it's from the perspective of Gene Hackman's character.
Yeah, they keep showing first person.
They show first person? Like in 1973 or 4, whenever this movie came out? Seems pretty, like, ballsy.
Yeah.
Or not ballsy, but like, I'm like, wow, they did that.
Yeah, you see him
in
running.
In a crowded
French,
you know, street.
Yeah.
So I like that.
It was very hardcore Henry, kind of.
Kind of, I guess, but yeah.
Yeah. But it was, like, it was, and it was like, wow, that's really fast paced, and the shots are very interesting. But no, I like Gene Hackman in general, and I'm a big fan of his acting, especially in this, like, the detox scenes. were so hard. I was just like, oh, like I thought the drug ones were tough because I was like, oh no, Popeye. But I knew that there was going to be a come down, and I was like, oh no, like,
yeah.
And man, he really does a great job of running the gamut. Like, I at one point when he was like, come on, you're not going to let me cold turkey, right? Like, he seems very balanced.
Right.
And, like, he's even head, he's even keel, and he's, like, kind of in good spirits. And I'm like, is this going to be, like, one of those movies where somebody comes down and they're like, whew, glad I got through that.
Well, as much as I say that that's slow in the progression,
yeah.
Nowadays it would be all cut very fancy and, like, very quick, and it would be like... you detoxed, fine.
You
and
see now him back you on the field. You see him coming out of the shower in a row with
right.
like a cup of coffee.
It wouldn't be anything to challenge an actor.
Yeah.
This does. And so that's a good... That's why I say it's a vehicle
yeah.
for Gene Hackman.
But no, he's all over the place with the emotions, yeah. and I love it. Like, some of the stuff with, like... I don't know. Like, I don't know how I feel about that. Sometimes I like that he doesn't speak the language of the people there because it's interesting seeing how he kind of like tries to get around communicating. Cause sometimes he does the ugly American, a beer, kind of like
yeah,
he just like yell things
his,
louder.
His like New Yorkness comes out a little bit more in this movie.
Yeah,
I think they do that to contrast it.
Yeah,
so I think they up that a little bit.
Yeah. But it, you know, it's, I don't know, like, sometimes that works for me and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, Jesus, just why isn't there somebody who speaks English?
Right.
Like, just to move
just
things
like,
along.
Can someone just help him to move along a little yeah. bit?
But no, Gene Hackman is, the guy is amazing anyway, acting, his acting chops are just,
right.
you know, unparalleled and he does that.
Your favorite
too.
Gene Hackman movie is Welcome to the Mooseport.
That's exactly right. It sure is. It's not. He's not bad in Welcome to Mooseport. It's not a great film, but
right.
it's like not terrible, and okay. he definitely brings it up.
I know. I'm just joking, but yeah.
Ray Romano, on the other hand,
Ray, Deborah. What's our next question? Because that took forever.
Would you reboot, continue, or cancel?
Here's what I would do. I want to reboot it. And not reboot it, but more prequel it, like before, like anything happened in the first movie, and like be have it be Popeye Doyle, like the TV show, or Doyle, you know what I mean? Where it follows, kind of, a young Popeye Doyle, in his, you know, in New York in the 70s.
Well,
that makes sense.
If he was young Popeye Doyle, it'd probably be in the
60s. What you know what I mean? But
yeah, I can see that.
You know what I mean? I kind of want that.
Yeah,
because I like the character a lot. They'd have to get the right actor.
Yeah,
and that's a demanding role to do. Like, you know, people are gonna compare that, but you know, people have done that before. So I don't know. How about you?
See, I'm torn about this because. I kind of want to see what happens with the story after Charnier.
Not me. I think that's all tied up fine.
Like, does he go back? Does he acclimate? I mean, that's what I'm...
I guess, yeah.
I'm kind of interested in that, but I don't think that would comprise enough for a whole movie.
No. Uh-uh.
I would say I'd like to see what happens to Popeye Doyle many years later, but just watch The Royal Tenenbaums. Close enough. If you want to know if Popeye Doyle raised this family.
Kind of. Yeah, he's an asshole in that, too.
He tries to maintain his classiness, but there's, like, several moments where you're like, holy shit, that's just like Popeye Doyle.
I read somewhere that, like, someone called Gene Hackman the angry everyday man, and
yeah.
I'm like, that's about right.
Yeah,
like,
angry everyman?
Yeah, the angry everyman, yeah. And
yeah,
I'm like,
I can see that.
I can
that, that seems right. Yeah, but no, I think... If there's not a whole movie to get enough out of, I would just go and cancel it. Like, I don't need more.
I kind of want to know a little bit more backstory.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't necessarily need it, but I could, if it was out, if it was already out, if it was on the table, I'd eat it.
Right. There you go. Fries.
Yeah. If you're ordering for the table. Do you think this stands on its own?
No. No.
No.
No, in fact, like, I hadn't watched the movie for so long, and I was so young when I watched it, that I had to go, wait a minute, what happened in the first one?
Yeah.
And normally when we're watching these movies, I don't go back and read synopsises. Yeah. Or synopsis of the movie, the first one. But this one I kind of had to, because I just wanted to go, wait a minute, that happened? Oh, yeah, it did.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. Do you think it holds up, stands on its own?
I do not think it stands on its own.
No, I don't think it does either.
I mean, there's some interesting callbacks to the first one, like when they're tailing the guy and he's using, like, the windows to see people behind him and kind of those cat and mouse games. There's some of those that are so very similar. But, like, you don't know what's going on, or, like, the whole backstory of Charnier. I mean, yeah, they kind of deliver a little bit, but this one, you really need to know what's happening to understand what's
going
on. That's
why you said, if you're going to watch the first one, you might as well.
Because otherwise you don't even get what Popeye Doyle's character is. Like, he's
not really. You're going to go,
relying on the character
that was
established in the first one.
Right.
Yeah, they don't do much in the way of character building until he's, like, detoxing.
Right.
Does this make you want to watch the first one?
Yes. Yes.
So if you never saw.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It makes me want to watch the first one because I'm interested in this. If I've never seen the first one and I've never seen this one and this is the first time I'm watching it, I'm interested in this character.
Yeah.
This character is more complex, and it's not so much of your typical detective that you see in movies. Do you know what I mean? So, yes, for me, I do.
I think if I hadn't watched the first one and I saw this, I still think that Gene Hackman's portrayal of Popeye Doyle and the character in and of itself is enough for me to go, well, what happened in the first one that got us to this point?
Right.
Or like, because I wouldn't know if he had a chip on his shoulder always, or if it, like, something happened that made him that way in the movie. I would be intrigued enough to want to watch it.
Sure. Me too.
Let's see here. Two words to sum up your experience.
Hackman vehicle. Is it Gene Hackman vehicle?
Hackman.
Hackman. Hey, asshole.
Asshole.
Picking up, criminals on the way. It's this movie. I felt like they were like. Gene Hackman was, like, reluctant to do this. I felt like they were like, yeah, but we'll write you this really long, like, really acting scene where you can just
probably
go crazy. And he's like, yeah, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's why those are my two words. And it really, and it does, if Gene Hackman's not in this movie does not work as playing Popeye Doyle. Like, if they were like, let's get someone else to play it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Is Elliot Gould available?
Is Brian Dennehy here?
Yeah, Brian Dennehy. Like what you said. Boo. Come on.
I
like Brian Dennehy.
Brian Dennehy was in those kind of roles, though.
Yeah.
Too.
I like Brian Dennehy, but this is not. Brian Dennehy is not Popeye Doyle.
I think mine is French Twist.
Because I forgot to put an orange twist in our drink.
Yes, it's get me an orange twist for my drink. The
French twist?
No, French twist.
Isn't that like a donut?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm saying that the twist of this movie as compared to the first one is that now, instead of it being Popeye's City where he's comfortable and then there's this little stuff, now he's completely out of his element. Like, no friends,
He's on his own.
Yeah, he can't just be like, hey, here's people I've known for decades who I can rely on. He really is on his own, and he doesn't know who he can trust. And he almost has to come out of his shell in a way to interact with people that he wouldn't have had to before.
Right, in a way he doesn't trust the French.
Yeah.
But yet he has to.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially after he detoxes and everything.
I think when he comes down from everything, it turns into, because I know Henri's a good cop.
Right.
In the end. When it comes down to it, it is. So I think that's he recognizes that. I think it's kind of a twist to be like, all right, now we're going to, it's not like Deuce Bigelow, European gigolo, where all of a sudden they're like, we're putting in a different thing so we can make fun of other cultures. They weren't making fun of the other cultures.
No, I don't think they were making fun of the other cultures.
And Popeye Doyle says a lot of shit about foreign
frogs a lot.
Yeah, he calls them frogs a lot. And he makes fun of their chocolate and their food and stuff like that. But that's just part of the character.
Yeah, that's more. It helps build the character more.
Yeah.
In following the movie as opposed to a comedy that's just like,
they're not
screw you, Europe.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it was an interesting twist to put him over there because it forced the character to kind of grow in a different way that I don't think we would have seen if he was still in New York.
Right. I agree. All right. Yeah. I like that. Booyah.
Booyah.
So you've been deuced on this episode. So where can people find us, Jeremy? By the way, Jeremy.
Yes.
Do you like phonies?
No.
Exactly. Because we're part of the No Phony Podcast.
Yes, we are part of the No Phony Podcast Network.
That's one of the ways you can find us.
Yes.
Is on the No Phony.
Yep. NoPhonyPodcastNetwork.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great if you go there because we are one of 25 different podcasts.
Yes.
That are of all different makes and models.
They're
different hosts.
Can I say they're all my friends? I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah. Whoever
they are.
Yeah. Actually, and we do. The group is great. We interact a lot with them. We talk with them. Everybody's got great ideas, and everybody helps each other in different ways.
And I love being in a zone when I'm talking with them.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they are good friends. I know that they'll be there for us.
Uh-huh. So anyway, where else can people find us?
People can find us at thejuicepodcast.podbean.com.
Really?
Yes. They can find us on iTunes.
iTunes, give us a review.
Google Play.
Give us a review.
Yeah, give us a review on iTunes, please. And Google Play. You can find us on Stitcher. On several different podcatchers like Podknife and things Podknife. Like that. So,
yes.
And then, of course, you can always find us on our Facebook page or find us on Twitter. We're pretty active on Twitter at The Deuce Podcast. And so we try to not only show you our own podcast and talk about our own stuff, but share others from the No Phony Podcast Network. As an example,
right? Like featured podcast. Oh, I was just going to say that. Wow, we're on the same
featured podcast this month.
Wow.
Is the Know Your Draft podcast?
Wait, it's them?
Yes, it is.
Fine. I guess it can be featured.
Which, if you haven't listened to their podcast before, definitely do so. It is fantastic. They run drafts.
Yeah.
On think of like your fantasy football draft, except they do different topics. So. Just recently they did a letter of the alphabet. They did A, movies. And so you had A, movies that started with A, and you had to draft a drama, a horror, a comedy, and a sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as an example, if I said, we're talking about like a horror movie, and I said Amityville Horror, then Bradley wouldn't be able to grab that one. And so we go around and they talk about their picks, so... it is really interesting. It took me a minute to figure out what was going on when they first described the concept. And then once I heard it in practice, I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, damn it, why didn't I think of it?
Yeah, right? It is seriously, it's amazing. I love listening to
it. We picked up two new podcasts, the No Phony Network did.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, we did.
Honest Chronic.
Yep.
Right? Second City Mysteries.
Yes, the Second City Mysteries.
Second City Mysteries.
Talking about conspiracy theories and paranormal kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So both of those are great. The whole network is great. So definitely check out there. If nothing else, go through and do a sample run. They have comedy like with the Release of the Clowns, where they do more sketch comedy stuff. We have several ones based around music. Several with politics. We have several with sports.
Sports.
Yes. So.
Yes. Sports. There's a movie sequel one. Wait, that's us.
That's us.
Oh, okay.
They have one with some douchebags.
Yeah. Well, whoever they are.
Douchebags.
Go ABC on douchebags. No Phony Podcast and give us a heart on.
Yes, you can put a little. There's a little heart icon that you can click to like
give
us.
Click on that and give us a heart on.
But outside of that,
yeah,
I think that's it for us.
So remember, the sequel is king.